Yeah, Father, thank you that we can just bless our nation and the nations all over. And we bless them with the revelation, the spirit of wisdom and revelation of who you are, of who your Son Jesus Christ, and the revelation of the depth of your love for humanity by sending your Son Jesus Christ. We bless the nations with evangelists to go out and proclaim the gospel. We bless the nations with teachers, with the prophets and apostles. We bless the nations with the children, the family of God, equipped, going out, advancing the kingdom of God. We bless every nation with the body of Christ, with the ecclesia awakened up and alive and full of love and walking in faith to touch the nations. We bless every town, every village with the incredible blessing of the body of Christ that lives within, amongst everybody, within every village and town of the nations. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good. Are you all ready for an exciting year? All very excited. That song, Oceans, is a very real song for all of us, because where we're going, we don't know. We just say yes to Him and walk. Let the Spirit of God lead us, and we walk by faith. And when we are sinking, we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And so you'll see how those words will be very real as we go forwards. And we praise God that we have Holy Spirit. We have God with us. And so it's going to be an awesome, awesome year of seeing His kingdom being advanced and the presence of God manifesting more and more. Week after week, month after month, it's going to be good. So the question is, how are we going to walk in this year? How are we going to advance the kingdom of God? How are we going to see the glory of God manifest more than what we've seen before? And that's what we're going to be learning. Last Sunday, when I was having my quiet time earlier on, I was spending time, and the Lord was emphasizing with me in Mark, where Jesus called His disciples, and He just simply said to them, come, follow me. And they followed Him. They had no idea what lay ahead. They had no idea of the next day. They just, spirit to spirit, they said, yes, Lord. And Sunday morning, Yvonne, while we were here and during the service, she also had a vision of Jesus walking out in front and also just saying, come follow me. And everybody was coming out of the pews just to follow Jesus. It wasn't, when God, it's, you know what He's saying. You don't have to hear a voice. It's spirit to spirit. It's very clear when God, as God speaks. And what was fascinating in her vision was that there were angels also all in this parade, helping all of us to just to follow Jesus, so that we will not be distracted, but we will be focused and to follow Jesus. And the highway is the highway of holiness. And because His train fills the temple, and it's a holy, holy train, and we were just following Him. And so, that was for me such a confirmation of the reality of Jesus' call on our lives to follow Him. And this is, you know, when we looked at last Sunday, when we looked at when the angel said to Gabriel, the child to be born will be holy, and that holy is because He's different, and we are different people. We are not like the world. We are not enslaved to the power of sin. We have been freed by the incredible blood of Christ. So we are different people, and we march to a different heartbeat of God, not to the heartbeat of the Satan who controls this world and everybody marches to the heartbeat of what he dictates, but we march to the heartbeat of God, our Heavenly Father. So we are different. And so I believe this year is going to be, or it's not only this year, but it's been since we gave our lives to Jesus, where we realized we are different and we heard him call and we said, yes, Lord. So I want to go to that portion of scripture in Mark chapter 1. And let's just read there quickly when he calls his disciples, or a few of them at this time. In verse 14, this is when John the Baptist was put into prison and Jesus is now proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. So he's proclaiming the kingdom of God is now here. And so in the context of, again, the good news of God's kingdom, because Christ is the king and he's now bringing in the reality of the reign of God, advancing the kingdom. Because remember, as we've looked at previously, where the whole world is under the control of Satan, and Jesus comes in now and he now says, no, that's now going to stop. It's now going to be a new kingdom that's going to advance my kingdom. And that's why he teaches us to pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we are all involved in advancing the kingdom of God. That's what the whole Great Commission is all about. And so as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. And so we see here an incredible truth where Jesus calls these men and they just simply said yes. They had no idea of the cost that that yes really means. They had no idea what that yes would require. They had no idea what that yes to him, where it would lead them into the future. In fact, James over here that said yes to the Lord, we see there in Acts 12 where Herod chopped his head off with the sword. You see, the cost of saying yes to the Lord. And that's why the holiness is such a big part, because we are different. Our yes is a costly yes. Our yes to Jesus is a yes to Jesus. And we have no idea of what our tomorrow will be like, but our tomorrow is yes in Jesus, because it's in him. He is our life. And so, you know, some of you have read the accounts of the disciples, but I thought, let me just recap of when they said yes to Jesus and what happened to them. We read here that with Peter and Paul, they were both Paul was beheaded and Peter was crucified upside down, so the historians say. Andrew, he went to Russia and to Turkey and those areas there, and he was also crucified. Thomas, he went and he was very active in Syria, and he was pierced with spears by soldiers. Philip, he went up to Asia Minor, North Africa, and he was also arrested and cruelly put to death. Then also for Matthew the tax collector, we see over there that he went to Ethiopia and he was stabbed to death because of the gospel. Bartholomew, he traveled, he went mainly to India. He sort of, him and Thomas started the body of Christ in India, and he was also martyred to death. James, this is the other James, he was stoned and clubbed to death. Simon, the zealot, He was killed by refusing to sacrifice to the sun god. And then Matthias, he was one of those that was chosen after Judas. He was put to death by burning. And the only one that lived sort of like died a natural death was John. and the rest were crucified. But Jesus called and they said yes. And matter of fact, Jesus speaks a lot about the cost of following him. When Jesus calling people and they would say, oh, but I must first go and do this, I must first go do that, and all these excuses. And then Jesus says something profound. He says to them over here, why do you keep looking back to your past and have second thoughts about following me? If you turn back, you are not fit for God's kingdom. And the NIV puts it this way, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. And so Jesus, he doesn't beat around the bush. He spends time with his disciples and he says, guys, come follow me. And once you start to follow me, if you keep on thinking about your past, the luxury of being a fisherman, your salary that you were getting, nice comfort of your home, if you keep on thinking of all those things, you're not fit. You're not fit. That word fit is a beautiful word. You're not ready. You're not able to be involved in advancing the kingdom of God because you're still too much living in your past and you have not yet realized that the old is gone and the new has come. So say goodbye to the old year and into the new year be fit to advance the kingdom of God. And that's a very important thing because I think all of us understand that once we put our hand to the plow and we say yes to the Lord Jesus and we start to be involved in the kingdom of God, advancing the kingdom of God, it's very soon when you're facing all kinds of demonic opposition and you're facing all kinds of trials, whatever it may be, and it's very easy to once again look back to the past and say, man, I should have rather just been a normal Christian. Much easier. No persecution, no demonic conflict. It was nice. I could just live for myself and my world and that's it. But I'm saved. I'm born again. So that's okay. But I would just rather live for myself and my will and that. You're not fit. We're not fit to be involved in the kingdom and advancing the kingdom of God. So when Jesus says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, that's what he's saying, guys. You can't keep on looking back to the past of what you had. You've got to look forwards. First focus is the kingdom of God, not your past life. And many people, and this you'll find is very helpful when you counsel people, because many folk, they stuck in the past. And they're looking to try... They ask me, basically, please fix my past. That's what they're asking when you're counseling people. Please fix my past all the time. And I'm saying, no, I will not fix your past because that past has been buried and died. The ministry of Jesus is to make you realize that you're a new person in him and the Holy Spirit will make the revelation of who you are and who he is, so that you can live in that truth. That's the healing. You know, not trying to fix the past, that's not your healing. The healing is who you are in Christ Jesus and receiving that and knowing, wow, this is who I am. There's life. And so all the time, guys, you've got to help people, because a lot of people live in the past, and when it gets tough, the identity was in corporate. You see, the identity was in whatever they did at work, whatever that case may be. That was the identity. And they're not fit to advance the kingdom because that's still the identity. So you've got to help. When you say yes to Jesus, you've got to tell them and help them to realize, but it's going to say yes to Jesus is now you're seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. Your heart is for him. As we sang over there, where the Spirit leads, we say yes. And so, how are we going to advance the kingdom of God? Well, one of the ways we're going to advance the kingdom of God is simply our yes is our yes. And when He leads, we say yes, and we go wherever He leads us to go. And that's the way we work. One of the areas now that the Holy Spirit is busy emphasizing very clearly for us is understanding what it is, what our yes is all about. And this morning I want to just speak one thing over here. When we say yes to Him, Jesus is again busy washing His disciples' feet in John chapter 13, and He's telling them about His betrayal and so forth, and He predicts that Peter's going to deny Him. And He then says to them, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are My disciples, if you have love for one another." So here we have an amazing truth, looking at not focusing on the past, but understanding the new. Happy New Year. See? Not focusing on the past and all the decisions that we made in the past that we regret, the decisions that we made in the past that we say, oopsie, and all the things that we did in the past, and focusing on that. No. In Christ there's a new creation. So He goes on and He says something profound, and this will help as you disciple people. He says, guys, you've been loving people all the time, but the standard of your love was your self-centeredness. So you would only love people on the standard of yourself. So you would make a choice. I would love so-and-so and I would not love so-and-so. I will forgive so-and-so. I will not forgive so-and-so. I will respond to that and not respond to that person. So all the time, self was a criteria on how much we would love a person. And Jesus says, guys, that's old. That's old. A new commandment I'm giving to you. And this is the new commandment, that you will now begin to love as I have loved you. Because remember, as we spoke previously, God's love is selfless. So now you have found there that this saying yes to Jesus is saying to ourselves, are now operating in the new covenant, a new commandment. And the standard to love one another is Jesus Himself. That's the new standard. Totally different, totally new. So when we begin to realize, and this is why it's so important, I asked someone the other night, busy with them, and in the past, and I asked them this question. I said, okay, you know the scripture that a new commandment I gave to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now let me ask you a question. Are you able to love yourself as God loves you? No, it's too hard. I've done too many things. Oh, all blah, blah, blah. See, living in the past, not fit to advance the kingdom of God. You cannot be in the past to advance the kingdom. You've got to be in the truth. And the truth is, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Otherwise, that will be the enemy's foothold in your life all the time. And whenever you're advancing the kingdom, that's going to come up, and the enemy's going to say, but look, what you've done, and look who you have been, blah, 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 blah. But you overcome the enemy, the accuser, by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Jesus. See, don't hold on to the past. We are a new creation. Be fit for the kingdom. Be able to be involved, in other words, in advancing the kingdom of God, because you're appropriating the truth. So Jesus speaks and He says, I'm giving you this new command, that this is the new standard, that you love as I have loved you. And so I was asked the other day, how do you know that I've forgiven somebody? I said, simple. And psychiatrists won't agree with this. Psychologists won't agree with this. All your humanistic counseling will not agree with the statement I'm going to make. I said, it's very simple. You know that you have forgiven when you can look at that person as if they've never sinned. Then you're forgiven. No, 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 you're human. No, 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 no. Oh, no. You see, we're different. We're different people. We love as Christ loved. So imagine if Jesus looks at us and says, man, sure, I just can't speak with you today because look what you did. You see, we love as He loves. That's a high standard. To be able to look at someone that may have hurt you, whatever, and look at that person. Practice with your spouses. And you'll see how you can grow in love. Practice with your spouses and your children and your family. And you will realize, no, I only love from my old self-centeredness to protect myself. That's the only way I'll love. I will, so far, no more. This time, not that time. Like all these conditions. But now the new standard, you'll find there, wow, Lord, I always loved like that. But now, because your love has been poured into my heart, I can now love as if they've never sinned at all. Freedom. Fit for the kingdom. Not holding grudges. Fit for the kingdom. Living free. Loving as God loves us. So there's a journey for us to move into, to be fit for the kingdom. We decreed a greater manifestation of the kingdom of God and the glory of God. And this is how. Now, just taking that simple new standard, Jesus, it's you and me. So I asked the people and they, why don't you forgive? You see, because you're living in the past. When that they hurt you, yesterday, past. Why are you living in the past? You're not fit to advance the kingdom. You see, you need to disciple people that you're involved with, helping them to realize, don't live in the past. Unforgiveness keeps you in the past. All the time, you're not fit for the kingdom. Not fit to advance the kingdom of God. You'll never be able to break through. Never be able to set captives free. Never be able to go and see God touch people's lives because there's too much living in the past. So, welcome to 2023. Don't look at the past of 2022. The new standard of love is our Lord Jesus Christ, and He's helping us now. There's grace that when we respond to, yes, Lord, this was part of saying yes, Lord, because this is His command to us, to love as I have loved you. Yes, Lord. No debates, no arguments, no maybe this, or no, they did this, they did that, it's too hard to do this, it's too hard. Yes, Lord. None of the disciples knew their tomorrow. None of you know your tomorrow. But you know that today, He who hears what the Spirit of God says today, we walk in that and we go forwards. I found in my own life that very seldom does God show me too far ahead. It's too scary. It's too big. I'm not able to walk in what He shows. So He shows a glimpse and then He works in me, helps me to grow, to become strong in Him so I can move forwards. And that's because we are His disciple and He's a good teacher to disciple us where He's leading us. So So you will find the Holy Spirit will be speaking a lot, discipling, so that you are able to follow Jesus into your tomorrow. So listen and let your yes be yes, no matter the cost of that. When the time gets tough, there are days, not anymore, but in years back, where I would look in the past and I'd say, just imagine that Friday feeling when you're knocking off and it's like weekend. Wow! And I wish I still had that. Not fit for the kingdom. You know, these little things like that, little foxes, and they sidetracked you, and you start letting that become rooted into you, how it used to be, the comforts of yesterday. But the funny thing is, as his disciples and all of us cannot testify to, that when you say yes to Jesus, and no matter what you're going through, you don't want any other way. It's the most fulfilled life, it's the most joyful life, it's the most incredible life that you have, because you're walking with him. He's the abundant life. There's a relationship with him that you never had when you said no. But the yes brings you in unity into a oneness and to experience him incredibly. So none of these disciples at the end of the day said no. They all said yes, cut my head off or crucify me, because we know. They understood the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the life of Jesus. And that's what makes us different, because we know the life of Christ within us. We know the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We know the joy of the Lord. We know the strength of God. We know these things. We know the love of God. So we can go forwards. So guys, maybe a small army, but a small army that has said yes to Jesus and has said, Lord, we're not going to look in the past and hold back and no. We're following you. Wherever you lead, we go. And we go. Practice that I'm doing all the time. Practicing all the time. I was saying the other day that someone came to the door that has caused a lot of hassles, you know, you name it. And whenever they come, I know here is an ulterior motive. There's something that they're scheming. And to be able to look at this person as if they have never sinned. See, you're able to speak differently, you're able to pray differently, you're able to release differently, you're able to impart life differently than when you look at them if they have sinned against you. Freedom. Yeah. So as we go into load shedding, fascinating with Jesus, his teaching, and the Pharisees are always trying to bait him and that. And it's fascinating with Jesus. And it says over there, and he was angry with them. And then in that anger, he was compassionate because they're so trapped in their religion. Fascinating, the anger and the compassion operating together. Love as he loves. May we ask Jesus to teach us more about his selfless love. Amen. Yeah. Father, we're going to have the communion. And it's a demonstration, it's a reminder, it's a participation in the selflessness of your love for humanity. While we were still sinners, our Lord Jesus came and he gave his life for us, that we can be saved, we can be set free, we can be delivered. And Jesus, I thank you. It's like we are sitting with your disciples when you were washing their feet and all the discussions going on. And then, Lord, you simply spoke to them such a profound truth in almost like interrupting all what was going on. A new commandment I give to you guys. And you give it to us, Lord Jesus, that we love one another, not as we used to love from a self-centered sort of standard, but now because of what you were about to do and what you have done in putting to death the power of sin that captured the image of God within us. The power of sin that captured love with self-centeredness. But your blood has freed us. So once again, you poured your love into our hearts, Father, by our Holy Spirit. And so once again, we have a new standard. We've been crucified and we've been raised with you, Lord. So now we're able to love. And as we step into 2023, Jesus, with you, this is going to be the heartbeat all along. As whatever we do is going to be because we've heard, because of faith being expressed through love. It's going to be faith that's going to be demonstrated by acts of love. Because your love always brings in an action. If we love you, we follow you. So we want to thank you, Lord, as you take us deeper and as you just open up areas where you wanting us to be involved. What a privilege, what a joy that we can say yes to you and go into the dark places to touch people's lives, out of our comfort zones, out of our safety, out of our mindsets, out of everything that self has put walls around in logic and reasoning and protection. But that self was now been crucified, Lord Jesus. And so as we sit with you and as you teach us about this new command, it's just you taking us to a higher level, into a deeper understanding and application of this. So I want to thank you, Jesus, that you're the author of our faith, and whether it is just going to go and feed somebody because of faith and that action of love, going to go and feed, demonstrate it with that love. You want to thank you that your kingdom is being advanced over there. But also, Lord Jesus, we also understand when you spoke and you said to us very clearly there that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that the kingdom is being advanced. And I'm asking, Lord Jesus, that you will begin to work in each and every one of us and the body of Christ in this nation, the reality of being anointed, being empowered by the Holy Spirit, so that we can be fully equipped to advance your kingdom. So I ask that there will be an inquiry in the hearts of many. What does that mean to be baptized by the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to be anointed? What does it mean in the power of the Holy Spirit manifesting the kingdom, a life of the Holy Spirit? And I ask that there will be an awakening to this question and a realization of whether I'm operating in the power of the Holy Spirit or not. So you will teach us, Lord, in these areas of our life. And so we thank you as we eat together with you around this incredible supper, celebrating what you have done. Lord, we look at our communities, we look at our nation and the nations wherever we may be in. What a privilege to be able to be involved in advancing your kingdom But you ask, Lord, that there will become such a unity, that the body of Christ will there be such a unity, Lord God, in a togetherness in advancing your kingdom, Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit, with the heart of your love for all humanity. And this we ask now as we partake with you, Lord. Impart this into us, establish this within us, help us to grow in this, so that our Father is glorified in whatever we ask in your name. Amen. Amen.